Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And I am your daily lover, excited about God's love. Ooh, I just wake up and I just want to give thanks. Thanks. Thanks, Holy Spirit. And we're going to get started with home. Stephanie Mills family.
When I think of home, I think of a resting place, a place where there's peace, quiet, and serenity. And that's where some of my friends have gone. Friends who have traveled with me through my wonderful experience in Oz, a journey I'll never forget.
When I think of home, I think of a place where there's love overflowing. I wish I was home, I wish I was back there with the things I've been knowing. When night makes the tall grass bend into leaves, suddenly the raindrops that fall
Another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine Ingram. That was Stephanie Mills. Think of home. Yeah. All right, family, we're going to get ready in time. Recognizing that there is only one power and one presence in this whole universe. On this line, we recognize this great spirit that is known by many, many names as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present. Recognizing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And as we become intentional, I want you to just become very intentional about the breath and breathe in through the nose. Hold it to the point of vibration. Hold it to the count of eight and then release the breath. Remembering to breathe deep into the diaphragm and remember to breathe into the heart. The heart has wisdom. I want you to breathe into the heart this morning, family, because there is power in the breath. And so as we move into the space of breath, remember to breathe in gratitude. Just simply breathe in and say, thank you, God. And as you release, remember to say, thank you, God. Breathe out. Thank you, God. Know that I am God. Breathe, family. And release. Breathe again. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe and release. And last time, let's breathe, family. Be still and know that I am God. And release.
Day 14, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself for judging my partner and ex-partner. Dear God, once again, I lay my weapons down. This time, I really mean it. This time, I really open my heart. This time, I really surrender my hurts and judgments. This time, I ask for and open myself to know the part of me that is being revealed in the behavior of my partner and my ex-partner. I ask to know and see it. I ask to acknowledge and heal it. I forgive myself for making this so hard on myself and for blaming someone else for the pain I have endured. I let it be, and so it is. Forgiveness Meditation. This meditation is offered to support you in creating the experience of forgiveness within your mind and body. Forgiveness is the ultimate act of love. It is the choice to give away the hurt, pain, and memories attached to an experience, incident, or upset. Forgiveness transcends the smallness of anger, judgment, and pain, allowing the mind and heart to rise into a place of higher consciousness and love. In order to receive the full benefit of this meditative experience, it is recommended that you listen during a time and in a place where you will not be disturbed for 5 to 7 minutes. See, feel, imagine. Intended to be so. That you are sitting under a beam of golden light. That light comes from the heart or the mind of God, wherever that may be. And it shines down on you, covering you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, throughout every aspect and fiber of your being. Golden light. Breathe the light in. And release the light. Breathe the light in. And release the light. And allow your heart to be filled with the following thought form. I forgive, I am forgiving, I am forgiven, I am forgivable. I forgive, I am forgiving, I am forgiven, I am forgivable. For every hurt or pain or upset I have ever experienced, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. For every abandonment, every rejection, every disappointment that I have ever experienced in my life, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. And breathe the light. And allow it to fill you from the soles of your feet to the crown of your head and down again from your crown to your soul, the golden light of forgiveness. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. Breathe the light and release. knowing that the golden light of forgiveness is now integrated into every fiber of your being. And every hurt and every pain, every wound, every disappointment, rejection, judgment, belief, perception, that is anything but love, is now disintegrated in the golden light of forgiveness. As you know, affirm, believe, accept. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. I let it be. And so it is. And we take a long, deep inhale and a slow, complete exhale. A slow, complete inhale. And a slow, complete exhale. And wiggle your fingers and your toes, and stretch your body, allowing the energy of forgiveness to be fully integrated into every fiber of your being. And when you're ready, open your eyes, focus your gaze upon one thing in the room, and take a long, deep inhale and drop it with the sound. Bring your awareness back to this space and this time, your body. Be renewed by the energy of forgiveness. As you move into your day, be sure to do something good for yourself. And be blessed.
Thank you, God. And so it is, and so it is. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine Ingram. I am your daily lover, and that was Ayanna Vincent right here on The Love Journey. When I get ready and get started, I wanted to kind of read from The Science of the Mind, but I wanted to go back over this particular one we talked about because I think of all the areas that we're growing in, I think we and working to develop more of our relationship with money. And, it says today, is money hard to manifest? Is money really hard to manifest? Thomas Troward once said, belief in limitation is the one and only thing that causes limitation. I want to say that again. So I really want you to marry on that for those who may experience something in lack in any area of their life. Belief in limitation is the one and only thing that causes limitations. The Science of the Mind on page 432 says, let us approach this idea of substance and supply and the law of opulence with a firm conviction that the eternal is forever saying to the temporal, that the Father is forever proclaiming to the Son, all that I have is thine. Let me say that again. Let us approach this idea of substance and supply. And the law of opulence with a firm conviction that the eternal is forever saying to the temporal. Now let's just stop right here. Substance is invisible, supply is visible. The eternal is the invisible, the temporal. Eternal is always saying that the Father is forever proclaiming to the Son, the Mother is forever proclaiming to the Daughter, that all that I have is thine, meaning that how see the beautiful, amazing energy on this line, and it's known by many, many names, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Yeshua, can go on and on and on, how we call the name of this beautiful Elohim energy. Saying that the energy of this universe is saying, the Creator of Most High, the Infinite Spirit, is saying that all that I have is yours. When I first started to do prosperity and abundance work, I was cautioned by many spiritual seekers that money was the most difficult thing to manifest, that it was the last thing to come, the first thing to go, and the implication was that everything else had to be in place for my financial prosperity to bless my life. The prize for a job well done. But if I slipped up even a little, the reward would vanish as quickly as it came, and I would have to start all over again. In truth, things show up just when you're ready to receive them. In truth, things show up in your life when you're ready to receive them, and you bid them farewell once they've outlived their welcome. Money is no different. Certainly, a consciousness of wholeness makes manifesting money a great deal easier. A consciousness of wholeness makes manifesting money a great deal easier. In fact, it makes manifesting everything easier. You see, there's nothing inherently more difficult about attracting prosperity than anything else. Unless, of course, you have some unresolved issues around money. If you were repeatedly told money when you were growing up to be weary of money, and that the filthy riches who possess it, or if you were warned that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, then you may need to delete those well-intentioned but ultimately disempowering messages from your consciousness. You may also need to work on your deservedness. I want you to just marinate on that for a minute. May need to work on your deservedness. You may also need to work on your deservedness consciousness and your ability to receive, because in the end, money is just one more form of energy. Money is just one more form of energy, a natural part of the wholeness that flows effortlessly into our lives. Effortlessly into our lives. The affirmation is, I am lavishly prosperous. Everything I need, want, and desire flows effortlessly into my life. I am lavishly prosperous. Everything I need, want, and desire flows effortlessly into my life. I want you to think about that. I am lavishly prosperous. Lavishly prosperous. And everything I need, want, and desire flows effortlessly into my life. Flows effortlessly into my life. You see, I want you to just think about money right now. Just breathe in the idea that money is energy. Money is energy. Just think of money as love right now, and just see money flowing into your life from every direction. Imagine money being God right now. Just imagine it. And God's love is raining on you. God's love is raining down on you right now. And everything you ever needed, wanted, and desired is just being rained down on you. I want you to imagine that. We're going to listen to this song as we imagine money flowing into our life. I do want to talk about that today. What is the reason why we're not manifesting What is our true belief about money today? What is our true belief? Good morning, family. You tuned in to the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram, and I'm excited today to talk about money. I went to sleep thinking about money, and I wanted to share this because constantly in my inbox I get, especially around this year, this time of the year, because everybody's doing events and everybody is fundraising for their event. And I think they ask the same people every year, every time. And you happen to travel in the same circles. And so what happened is everybody is doing the event, so they're asking for money. And so I was thinking to myself, it's got to be a different way. And I remember Dr. Johnny Coleman saying that our belief system, our demonstrations in life are a demonstration. Our life is a demonstration of our belief system. Our money is a demonstration of our belief system. And so I often ask myself, because I was listening to a couple of people talk about asking, you know, they were asking for money. They felt like it was hard to keep asking people every year for the same money every year. And we repeat ourselves. And I'm not saying that I'm no different. I just don't really, I haven't went out there like that and ask for money, but I know that I find myself in the same pattern every year when it comes to doing the events and blah, 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 and I'm thinking to myself what I need to do and blah, blah, but I know that my expression of money is a demonstration of my own belief system. So if I want money, I know I have to do my inner work, right? That's my thought process, because that's what I was taught and that's what I understood, and it has worked for me. When I ever I desired to bring forth money, I needed to do my inner work. But I was thinking to myself, Because a lot of times we don't walk our talk. I hear us a lot of times being spiritual leaders and dynamic leaders in our community, and yet we say we got to do our inner work, but then we don't do our inner work. If we find ourselves, or something is missing, I was thinking if we keep finding ourselves in the same situation, specifically I'm talking about myself, but it was a catalyst because every year around this time, 20, 30 people are asking me to donate. And you don't even understand, I want to donate because all the projects are phenomenal projects. And some of the people I love. You know, some of the people are doing the projects that I love. I love them. And I can, you know, some people, and, you know, when you see them on the Facebook Live and they're really, you know, disgusted because they haven't manifested the money yet to do what they need to do. And I was thinking to myself, I was listening to a group of ladies on their radio show talking about this same thing, you know, asking the people for money. They got this big event. I think their event, as a matter of fact, is today. And there were some beautiful sisters on there. And I was thinking, why is it with these beautiful gifts that we all have, and we're all bringing these beautiful gifts to the planet and doing these phenomenal events, all of them are doing phenomenal events, and events that's needed in our community. The particular event that I think theirs is today, they're doing this about teaching women about creating business. And one lady, I was listening to her on there yesterday asking for money for the event. She needed to pay her. And she's teaching women how to create a cosmetic business. She's giving you all the vendors for free. She's giving out over 300 vendors for clothing and over so many, you know, she's teaching you step by step what to do, how to do it, and everything, right? And if you want to open up a big girl clothing line, she's giving you that. And it was just amazing information she was giving away for free and what's going to be happening at that event today. And I was thinking, but yet they still got vendors to pay. And I was thinking, wonder what it is in our consciousness. And I have to say me, it's just that I happen to not be on Facebook, not asking, but it doesn't mean that I don't internally go through the process wondering what it is that keeps, even I'm going to use myself, me in the same situation every year. Okay, I got to pay my vendors. I got to do this and this and that. And some years were better than others. And I said to myself, what is it that we can do differently? So I know that it's about developing a relationship with money. I know it's about getting that stuff out of us that we've had too long in our mind. So I came across this article, which is interesting. When you ask the universe shows up. It says, change your mind about money. She said, on the top five areas that my clients typically want to work on, between career, love, money, body, time, money is the one that seems to feel the most rigid and hard to change. After all, your job pays you X amount of dollars. Your expenses are X amount of dollars. And there's something that feels very out of my hands about that. So her goal today is to, in the blog, is to put money back into your hand. And she said, here's how. She said, we each have a set of beliefs about money, and it is those beliefs that keeps us in our current rigid paradigm. The thing to realize is that these beliefs are not necessarily the truth. They really are subjective. For this reason, at the Handle Group, we call them theories. They are theories because they can be proven wrong. I used to have the theory that if I had been financially wrong, I had to right that wrong in my mind. It became a matter of principle and pride, even if it didn't make financial sense. I call this theory my justice theory. You see, my justice theory was tempted to raise its head again the other day. I ordered $10 glow-in-the-dark L wire for an event, and the webpage said that I would have my wire well before the event. 2 days before, I noticed that my L wire hadn't arrived yet. I went back to the website and saw that the estimated delivery date was now 2 weeks after the event. The vendor had misrepresented shipping time, and now the wire was being shipped on a boat from China. Seriously? Now, I had great plans for this L wire, and now was it too late to order another in time? When the wire finally arrived, a few weeks later, my justice theory was tempted to kick in. It reasoned that I should return the wire, get my $10 back, and make the vendor pay for return shipment. Except the return process wasn't quite that easy, as the vendor does not routinely offer to pay for return shipment. I could tell that it would take a bit of a fight, a few email chains, a trip to the post office to make this return happen. Now, I've been in the throes of my justice theory. I would have done all that work to return the $10 wire because I was wrong and I needed to make that right wrong. I needed to right that wrong. Those of you who don't have any justice theories are probably shaking your head right now, right? As you should, because the problem with my knee-jerk reaction is that it doesn't make financial success. In the time it would take to fight for my $10 return, I could instead do so many things that could make more money. I could, right? Better research, investment opportunities for my retirement money, have time to take the subway instead of a cab, hem my pants instead of sending them to the tailor, attend a networking event, meet interesting people who might be able to help me in the future. All of these things will likely be worth more than $10 to me, and yet if I let my justice theory cloud my thinking, I would have spent that time to return that $10 wire. Lucky for me, I caught that theory dead in its tracks and made a choice. I chose to keep the wire, give myself permission to spend the time wisely somewhere else. I chose to follow a new theory, which says that it's best to spend my time in a way that most creates the life I want to live. Returning that wire did not create my dream for wealth as well as not returning the L wire. So I now know this is a simple, somewhat idiosyncratic example, but consider that you each have your own wacky theories about money that you have acting in a way that does not create the wealth you want. What's yours? So the reason why I read that article to you, I wanted to read it because now we might not be fighting over a piece of wire, but I wanted you to symbolically think about the things we do that distract us from creating the life we want to live. And that means up and including money. I thought about how many times I get caught up in something else when it comes to myself, because it's so easy to get distracted. But it's so easy to want to support and help everybody. I thought about that. But when it's time for ourselves to do what we need to do, sometimes we get distracted because we're so busy looking at the $10, and I use her example, wire, instead of the $1 million or the $1,000 door or the $100,000 door that's trying to open, because we get distracted. So I thought about distraction as one of the ways that keeps us from being able to manifest and create the life we really want. But then I thought about what the science of the mind said, deservedness. Because every year I have to choose between who I, you know, want to give, because I want to support my friends when they doing their events. So I might give this person X amount of dollars, this person X amount of dollars, and this person X amount of dollars. And then before I know it, they're coming back around again because they need it again. I'm thinking, oh, wow. And you want to support and you want to support. At some point, you have to ask yourself. And I remember one of the ladies I was on the phone with, she was fussing because she asked somebody for $25, $30, or whatever she had asked for, and they said they were getting ready to move, so they wasn't in a position to donate. And she said this that was interesting. She said, black people, this is what she said, and I just listened. She said, now, if $20 was going to make her break her move, and I was thinking as she was talking, I said, well, really, are you thinking that $20 was going to make or break her move because she wasn't giving it to you? But would $20 make or break that she didn't or didn't give it to you in your situation right now? Think about what $20 can do for you, because that's what you're asking everybody for. And so we have to be careful how we judge other people's processes. Think about it. I'm asking you for $20 because $20 can make or break how I do it. Enough $20 can make or break my situation. But we're upset because she decided that she chose to keep her money because she wants to move, even though $20 may sound simple. So I want us to be thoughtful of how we judge other people when we ask people for something. We don't know people's situation. And so we have to be grateful. Sometimes just somebody else's prayer can help move our situation along. So as we move through these things and we decide how we want to transcend our money, we have to be thoughtful of our thoughts. So I want you to think about that, your thoughts, because your money, now I'm going to tell you this, the reason why I'm saying that, we don't understand that how we do anything is how we do everything. And our money thoughts So whatever, when you don't feel deservingness, your money says, well, you don't deserve me either. So guess what? When you don't feel deserving, you do things to unconsciously and sometimes consciously keep money from coming into your experience because I'm not deserving. And I remember when God first told me the deservingness piece. One day we were, this is when Fridays was geared toward the testimonies, and we were going through, and I was going through, and I was saying, Holy Spirit, how can we get some really powerful testimonies? What is really keeping people from really having those powerful testimonies? I was asking that. It was right before I was getting ready to get on the line that Friday. And I remember going into this deep trance-like sleep, but I could see everything that was going on. I said, what keeps us from not being able to have these powerful testimonies? And I went into this deep trance, and my auntie appeared in my auntie at the time had passed away, and she came into my experience. And I remember seeing her, but I remember, and I, in the trance-like state, I went back to my, I was a little girl. And we, you know, I grew up in a, off of East of 79th Street. And what happened was she, I was over her house, and she lived east off of Paxton on 79th, on 79th in East Townhouse. And I could see myself being there. And I remember being there one particular day, and she had been waiting for her husband to get off work. He was a bus driver to bring money for. She had a new baby. And he didn't come home that night. And many times they would be outside arguing over him messing around with other women and not coming home and just all the things that she kept going through. But then fast forwarded to a few years after they separated, he met a girl named Tawana, and I could see him with Tawana, but he treated Tawana differently. And I could, and my, in my vision, I could see him with Tawana and how he treated Tawana differently. And I asked Spirit, it was like I was peeping in on their life. But this had been when I was a little girl. So it was, and it was like, I said to God, well, why did, and his name is James. I said, how come Uncle James treated Tawana differently than he did my auntie? And God said, expectation. I said, wow. And that was the word. And then I woke up. And so I began to look up the word expectation. What did expectation really mean? And then when I got down to everything, we don't expect because we don't feel worthy and we don't feel deservedness. And then it got down to worthy and deservedness, and that's how we came up with the deservedness statement at the time that we used to read every morning. I wrote out, it was downloaded from God, that deservedness statement. And I started to think about what keeps us wounded into that energy of not feeling deserving, not feeling worthy. And it all comes down to how we see ourselves. Because fast forward into when Dr. Dennis Kimbrough came on the line, I remember we were reading the Wealth Choice book, and Dr. Dennis Kimbrough is the author of that Wealth Choice book. That's when we started doing Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe Fridays. And we started reading books and inviting millionaires on a call, right? And Dr. Dennis Kimbrough was asked by John Johnson, why are you not a millionaire? He said, you can tell a lot about a person and how they love themselves by looking at their bank account. And that was just like something that plagued my mind ever since I read it. And I didn't really get the correlation initially when I read it, but I started to think more about what did that really mean? And then it occurred to me, after listening to several millionaires on this line and going through the process, that money is energy, and money is just like anything else. How we see ourselves and how we value ourselves is how we relate to money. Because money takes on the thoughts of the person that is in the hands. So when you have money in your experience, and say you're getting ready to do your bills, or you got, it takes on the thoughts. If you feel like, oh my God, I don't have enough. You know, a lot of times when we're getting ready to pay our bills, we don't feel like it's enough to pay the bill. And because I learned that money takes on my energy of my thoughts and it responds to how I move and navigate with it. So if I don't have enough, then it's going to prove to me that I don't have enough, right? Sounds simple, but it's the truth. And so now when I'm ready to pay and send my money out and circulate it for my bills, I make sure that my energy of my thoughts, even if the physical presence of that money is not showing physically enough, I know that I have enough anyway, and I won't pay anything if I'm feeling not enough about it. And let me tell you why. Because I don't want my money to be sent out with a feeling of not enough. So I bless what I have. I go into and sing my songs, and I move my body, and I make sure that I get into a place of more than enough energy before I send my money out, because I want my money to, and I bless my money, and I speak to my money, and I send my money out with the idea that I want you to come back more than enough, because the money takes on the energy. So if I'm looking at my money and my money doesn't seem to be enough to pay for what I have, I'm going to stop and not pay anything until I get in an abundant feeling. And money, and we have to unlearn what we've been taught over the years about money in terms of energy, though. I'm not talking about just the fact that money doesn't grow on trees and all the stuff that we've been embedded in some of us, which a lot of us have. But what I'm talking about is becoming aware of the thought that we take when money is in our experience, or the feeling that takes over our body when someone calls and we know it's that time to pay that particular thing, and our body remembers how to be poor because our body remembers the poverty, or our body remembers prosperity. So if your body is taking on some kind of stress when someone calls you because you don't have enough, or that even if you don't answer the phone, the stress in your body is remembered. So I want you to think about this. What do you feel when you hear the word money? And I just want you to breathe that in for a minute. What do you feel when you hear the word money? What about a lot of money? What about no money? What emotions does this generate within the body? See, if we wish to live an abundant life filled with meaning and purpose and passion, it's vital to master our relationship with money. Now, that doesn't mean that each one of us may want to be millionaires, billionaires, to be wealthy, because wealth is not about how much you have, but rather how you relate to what you have. So it doesn't matter what your desire is. It's just a matter of relating to what it is that you desire and what it is that you already have. It's learning to relate to money. I'll never forget, to me, of all the millionaires that came on the line, this particular millionaire struck energy in my body when he was speaking. He was a farmer, and he had a farm, so many farms, not too far outside of Illinois, but he was also manufacturing. He had a manufacturing company here in Chicago. First, from my understanding, the only black manufacturing company that producing distributed food to places like Whole Foods and stuff like that. And the one thing that was interesting is that he did not have any debt. I was like, wow, older black man. And this is what he said that really made. He said four things that was interesting. He said, we as African-American people know how to make money. He said, but we don't have a relationship to money. That was the first thing he said. They're like, wow, we don't have a relationship. And this is how he explained it. He said, we get our money and we pay the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker. He said, but we never pay ourselves. Let me say that again. We pay the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker. And there's something spiritual that happens when we pay ourselves first, and let me tell you why. I know that to be true. Because the first time I read the book, The Richest Man in Babylon, it was really interesting that the whole story goes through this man searching to find the richest man in Babylon to tell him the secret to wealth. And when he finds the man tells him to save the first 10% of everything he earned. seems like a simple concept. So I was young and I started saving my first 10% of everything I earned. If I earned $250, $25. If I earned $1, 10 cents. If I earned $1 million, $100,000, you know. So whatever that first 10%, I started saving. I started doing it. And then, of course, life happened. Then I spent my savings, everything. Then I started over. But I didn't really have a relationship to money at the time. So I was sitting in the bed, in the middle of my bed, talking to God one day. And I began to ask God about 10% and all this stuff and why and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Spirit spoke to me in a way that I had never heard it before. Spirit said the reason that it's important that we pay ourselves or pay our first 10% to ourselves is because money take on the energy of our thoughts. And we teach money how to treat us. Now, bam. That thing was like a bam. We teach money how to treat us. And I want you to hear this. So when I teach my money that I am important to my money, so that I save the first 10% of my money for myself, it's not an act just to do, but I'm teaching my money that I'm important. Think about this. Every time we get our money and we pay the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker, we teach our money that it's important for us to get our money so we can pay everybody but ourselves. Because we never have, I bet you, if every budget on this line, I bet there's nobody who has a line item for themselves on there. Unless you know, been on this conversation with me before, or maybe you just might, I don't know. But most of the time I talk to people when I'm coaching people and I coach them and I ask them and they want to be coached about their money, I say, okay, tell me what's on your budget. Tell me what budget you have. Because most people have a budget, even if it's not written down, they have, well, every month I have to pay this. And nobody at this point that I've ever coached said to me that so Janine, 10%. Okay, my mortgage, this and that. Nobody has ever said to me, I have my name first and the first 10% go to me. Nobody, not one person. And let me tell you, and this is not to place any thought processes on any other colors or people on this line, and I love all of you, but I am African-American, grew up in an African-American environment, and what I've learned is that we're taught to pay bills. We're just taught to pay bills. My sister, growing up with my sister, I remember watching her sometimes. She would pay every bill, and sometimes we wouldn't even have food. She had to figure out how we had to eat because it was more important to pay her bills than it was for us to eat. I don't know. And I've seen a lot of households like that. All right, well, we eat beans and rice. We make that stretch for the week. We never figure out ourselves first because for some reason we're taught to pay our bills. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it's not important to pay our bills. But what I am saying is we're not taught to put ourselves first. We're not taught to honor ourselves first. Because I was taught to pay your bills. You could figure out something to eat, but pay your bills. And that was the thing that was ingrained in us. I remember sitting I was a finance manager, and I remember this lady coming into the office. She worked for White Castle, and didn't nobody want to take us. You know, people assume that White Castle, I don't know how much money they make. And so people assume if you work at White Castle, you don't make that much money, and if you don't make that much money, your credit not good. That girl came in there and had the best credit I ever seen on that little bit of salary that she made. And I thought to myself, I wonder how she do that. She had all this good old credit and had this little bit of salary. Because we're taught to pay our bills first. Now, by no means am I not saying don't pay your bills, but what I am saying is in order to develop a relationship with our money, we first have to develop our relationship with our money and teach our money how to treat us. And how we do that is by teaching ourselves and our money that we're important. And we do that spiritually and emotionally by making sure that when the money come in, we're not looking at how to send it out, because that's what happened. Our whole thought process is to work to pay bills, work to live, and never think of, and it's on this line. I tell you, if the love journey hadn't been a blessing to nobody else, it's been a blessing to me, because I never thought about this right here. I always got a job to pay my bills. Never did I get a job to invest in my future. Bam. When I came out on A Millionaire Man Friday, that blew my mind. Our job is our investor. to invest in our lives, to invest in our freedom, to invest in how we want to take our life to the next level. And how many of us actually have a plan with our job to invest in our future? When that came out, I started asking my clients, how do you see your job? As a way to pay my bills. Nobody ever said as a way to invest in my life, invest in my future, and to invest in my dreams. So that was something else that I learned. And I wish I had learned these concepts early in life, but, you know, you get what you get when you get them. So now when I see myself, if I see myself going back to a job, I will see it as an opportunity to invest in what it is that I want to do in my life. I will see it as an investment opportunity opposed to a job to get to pay the bills. But no, it's an opportunity to invest and grow and flourish myself and expand my life. So I'm going to re-say this to you again. What emotions does this generate within your body? When we're talking about money right now, how is it affecting your energy? What do you feel when you feel not enough money or when you feel a lot of money? People get even afraid when it's a lot of money, or they get nervous, it's too much money. People get those kind of emotions. And I know you might say, oh, not me, but people generally do, especially people who come from a space of not enough. So when you think about your money, how are you going to teach your money to treat you? Are you going to make sure percentage of your money away from you now that you know that you teach it? Because a relationship is a relationship. I teach people how to treat me. I teach my money how to treat me by making sure my money understands that I'm important. So every dollar I earn, every 10% of every dollar I earn first comes to me. Now, for those who have strict tithes and beliefs, then 10% can go to the presence of God and however you want to tithe, and then another 10% to you, and then the rest 80%. I know a lady who teaches the 80-20 rule. Tithing you. So I'm not saying, all I'm saying is that you teach your money how to treat you and that a portion of your money should be yours to save, to invest, and to grow. So let me tell you what the next thing he said. He said, we haven't been taught how to plant our money. Now, because he was a farmer, he used plant, but it's the same difference as money make money. We haven't been taught how to let our money make money. Now, Warren Buffett once said that if we are not making money in our sleep, and if we have to use our energy to make money, we'll never be rich. That means that every dollar you own, you have to be present. See, what is that millionaire guy was saying and what Warren Buffett is saying, that if money is not making money, your money not making money. Your money should be making money. The money should be making money. So that means you need to plant your money or invest your money or put your money in places that make money even when you sleep, that you don't physically have to do anything to earn. So I want you to think about these things. Now, I know we've talked about this over and over again, but I want to redundantly put it in your head, because when we think about things, I was talking to one of the ladies on the prayer line who is very quiet. Now, she owns several daycares and a transportation business. And she said God has blessed her to be a wealth distributor. She helps other people quietly and stuff. She's a quiet, shy kind of lady, right? But an amazing spirit. And we were talking the other day. She believes she's a wealth distributor. And I thought about that, a wealth distributor. How many of us would love to be wealth distributors? I mean, think about it. Even just some of us travel in the same circle. So some of us are all being asked for money from the same people. You know, there's 4 or 5 events that's coming up right now that people are all asking for money for. But just think, if we had our money energy in place,
we wouldn't even be having this conversation. Because the reason why I say that is because I would have been able to just say, here's $1,000, here's $1,000, here's $1,000 for all of you all, or I would have said, here's $500 or $100 or whatever for each one of them. But I was thinking about each time they asked me for money, I'm thinking, okay, I want to give this person money, I want to give this person money. But then I thought to myself, I can't give everybody money for their events because I got my own event. I got my own sunrise coming up. I got my own goddess workshop coming up. I got my own. I got to get out of here in August to go, you know, this and that. So I got to think, you know, but I'm thinking. And then I said to myself, what if we all just came together and decided to start doing our inner work? And then we wouldn't have to. We would just attract and magnetize the money. Money wouldn't even be a thought process because we'll be in the flow. Now, it's interesting, the Hindi Bible, the first thing it says when we open the Hindi Bible, it says that abundance we come from, abundance we shall remain. We come from abundance and we shall remain in abundance, right? I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, if we were born in abundance and abundance is where we shall remain, how do you remain in that abundant thought process, right? It's all about the feelings, though. And we have to do the work to get it out the cells of our body and in the memories of our body, because all the stuff that has happened generationally. Now, some of us come from generations of different things, so some of us got more work to do than others. For me, I know my mom didn't have a relationship with money. My mom was hooked on drugs. My mom had a lot of issues with stuff going on in life. I mean, you know, it just is what it is, but that's the energy that I came through, which means ancestral. There's a lot of work I had to do to even get to this place where I am today. And now I'm working even diligently more to move more of those thought processes and energy that's been blocking me from really experiencing money and life in the way that I truly know I deserve to live, right? But as I do my work and as I grow and as I expand, the one thing for sure and the second two things for certain is this, is to learn the vibrational. See, the language of the universe is vibrations. And this is the real secret, family. The secret to really developing is to get into the vibration of our own emotional intelligence. What are we truly feeling? And I want you to be more aware. I really want you to become the true scientist of yourself. Because really life is about mastering self. So become the scientist of yourself. What is your emotional vibration saying about anything and everything? Because how we do anything is how we do everything, and the vibrational energy that we navigate life on is the vibrational frequency that we kind of move through life. And when we feel not good enough, not pretty enough, or not something enough, or not this enough, we kind of move through life like that. And so that's how we affect our relationship, even our relationship to money. So I want you to become a scientist, family. I want you to take your journal around and become aware of your vibrational, emotional intelligence. Now, why am I breaking it down like that? Because I really want you to really think about the frequency that your emotional self is vibrating at. Let me say that again. I want you to become a scientist, and I want you to watch how your emotional vibrations are operating. And the only person who knows what you're thinking and feeling is you. Now, somebody may come around who's more in tune with things and may confirm some things for you, but really the person who needs to understand that is you. You need to become aware. What am I feeling right now? So I want you to stop maybe every 30 minutes to an hour and just stop and ask yourself, what am I feeling right now? Where am I emotionally vibrating at? If a bill collector calls after you get off the phone or if you don't answer the phone, I want you to feel what you're emotionally vibrating at. Because here's the kicker. So we got that you make enough money But we don't know where to plant our money, to invest our money and let our money make money, right? And we haven't developed a relationship with money, right? That's what the millionaire said. But this is the thing that he said. Two last two things that were really powerful. He said that you can speak to your money. See, when you develop a relationship, you can speak to your money. So he said this. Sit with your money when you get your money and ask your money to show you and guide you on places to invest your money. He said that's what he do. He sit with his money and ask his money where to invest in it. That's why he's a millionaire today. Because the money, when you speak to the money will speak back to you. It's no different than George Washington Carver speaking to the plants and loving the plants and the plants speaking back to him. Now, I want you to think about that. I want you to examine your relationship with money. The reason I want you to examine your emotional belief, because there's beliefs about money that can move you forward or hold you back. And if we want a positive relationship with our money and create an abundant life, then we must become very intentional about what it is that we want to do in our life. Because money is a topic that can trigger many people. It's a topic that can really set people off. And if you found yourself triggered, if you find yourself getting upset, just pause for a moment and see if you could get curious instead of triggered this morning. If somebody owe you some money, that can trigger people off. If you owe people money, you can get triggered. Money is such a big trigger for so many people. And if you get triggered, I want you to start to notice and ask yourself and get deeply rooted into the idea, why am I triggered right now? Because, see, money is a powerful topic, and when you get your alignment and your relationship with money right, massive opportunities open up on your life. And this is not about being a millionaire and a billionaire, but it's about having a positive, empowered relationship with money. And so my goal is about having an empowered relationship with money so that massive opportunities can come to me, and then I can also be a blessing to others. Yes, I want to be a blessing to my friends who are putting on an event, but I have to realize that I have to take my money and invest in my opportunities and my events too. So there's only so much that I can actually do in giving out. But as I grow my empowered relationship, I may be able to support things differently. Or maybe even more importantly, as I empower myself, I can teach my friends how to empower themselves so that none of us will ever be in this position that we're in every year in, year out with the same conversation. And in order for us to do that, the first thing we have to do is question is, what is money to us? That was the first step. I'm asking myself these questions. What is money? If money is all money is, it's energy, and money represents energy in exchange for value, and in life there's transactions. We transact money and we exchange money for some type of value. And that value might be coming on a retreat. That value might be purchasing clothing. That value might be purchasing food, airplane tickets. It might be giving a gift to somebody. There's a mutual exchange of value and energy in every transaction. Now, I want you to think about that. In every transaction, there's a value and energy transaction. A value and energy transaction. So if we have built up money stories or money paradigms, we were told by someone growing up, money doesn't grow on trees. We live in a scarce universe. You got to work hard. And that's one of the ones that I'm really releasing, working hard for my money. I believed I had to work hard. And even though I didn't really work like hard, but I believed that I had to have a job to make money. And so I had to get out of that consciousness. And so I'm still working off a lot of that, but it's getting better. But it ain't got as better as fast as I wanted, but I'm still doing my work, family. And to barely earn a living or whatever it might be, you really got to ask yourself, what's my money story? So when you think about money or maybe not enough money, what are the stories that you tell yourself about why you don't have it? I was listening to one girl say, if we all come together, you know, it was like when I was listening to her, she's in California and she's putting on an event. And she said that people should come together to help her put her event together. That she was really kind of coming from an angry kind of space, though. It kind of felt angry and kind of felt pushy and kind of felt a lot of things. And even though I know her intentions is good, I know that she was just feeling that way because the stress of all the bills you have to pay when you're putting on these events. We go to these nice events, but we don't really look at the fact that what the person has to do. So sometimes the people can come off that way. It's only because of the stress of having to pay all this stuff with the big vision that they have. But our energy either flows or stops. And so when I was listening to her yesterday from California talk about this, I was thinking to myself, wonder where her money story is. Wonder where her money story is. And the reason why I thought about her money story, because she's a spiritual teacher. And I was thinking to myself, you know, the way she was coming off, I was wondering what money work has she done on her inner self, right? And there's nothing, so get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with asking people for money. It's nothing wrong. I was just talking about the energy of the way she was coming across because she was getting frustrated, and she getting frustrated because she had the bills, and I can understand that. But what I was thinking about is what is it that keeps her in her money story? And she's a spiritual teacher. So I wonder if she's thinking about the fact that our belief system is a our life is a demonstration of our belief system. Our money is a demonstration of our belief system. So if every year you're putting these events on and you're going through the same process, when is it that we're going to stop being angry because the people not investing in the event, even though it's a phenomenal event, and start doing the work inside, I thought to myself. So I thought to myself, what is her money story? Because she has an amazing retreat that she does every year. And I tell you, it is amazing. So I sent her a message. And I sent her a message and said, you know, I love you and I'm saying this in love. But what is your own money story? Why are you on Facebook kind of coming off angry? Your energy is angry because you feel like people should invest in your event. And your event is phenomenal. And I want you to know. But sometimes we got to do the inner work so that, I'm going to say all the time, we got to do the inner work so that you can take yourself to the next level so that your retreat people can be taken to the next level by the work that you do. Of course, we don't want to hear that, but that's the truth. Even I have to tell myself that when I'm in the middle of my own stuff. What is my own money story? So when I think about money or maybe not having enough, what is the stories that I tell myself? Well, is it stories like maybe teachers aren't supposed to make money? Or maybe the people like me aren't supposed to make money. Or maybe rich people, I mean, or whatever it might be. Or maybe spiritual people are not supposed to make money. I'm not supposed to use my gifts to make money. What is your story? Really think about what your money story is. Now, I'm talking about from my perspective, that might be some things I think about. Do I believe spiritual people should make money? I absolutely believe it because I believe money is God. And I believe God is money, and money is God, and love is God, and money is love, and all this stuff is energy. So all I need to do is fix whatever I've been taught in my consciousness so that I can move into that next level to attract and magnetize money to the level. What is my resistance? Like I'm in the middle of my deal. Let me just tell you, I could tell I'm doing my work because I could see little things coming off the scratches of the surface, right in the middle of my Rare Rose project, in the middle of making it happen. And just every time it's close to closing, there's this one little thing that comes up. So I ask myself, what is my resistance? What is the story that I'm still telling myself? And I can see I'm at the door, I'm kicking the door in, but I got something small right there in between me and this deal being closed, right? So here's the spiritual truth that I had to tell myself. I live in an abundant universe. We live in an abundant universe. We live in a universe. I live in a universe where there's more than enough. More than we have not run out of air. Try to go to the beach and count how many pebbles are in the sand. We live in a truly abundant universe where energy ebbs and flows. And then we have to be able to open ourselves to receive money if we want to be able to get paid well for our services. We got to be able to open ourselves to receive money.
You see, what I've learned is God don't just give you what you ask for. God always gives you more than what you ask for. Oprah asked for a house with 6 trees. Oprah got a house with 3,683 trees. And Oprah only asked God for one house with 6 trees. And look what Oprah got. Tyler just wanted somebody to come to his place. That's all. Just wanted to sell out his place. But look what Tyler got. Because we serve, we come in this planet with an abundant God. See, the other thing is that we want to be able to be in a structure and a system and a dynamic that allows us to be abundantly compensated for the value that we bring into the world. I want you to understand the value, and I want you to stop right here and just really marinate on the value you bring to the world. Most of us don't believe that we bring value to the world. Sometimes when you compliment people on their gifts, oh, that's nothing to people sometimes. I remember saying to a lady, oh, you're a phenomenal writer. Oh, that's nothing. That's nothing. That's your gift. And when you look at your gifts and you don't value them, how you expect to exchange value for energy, for the energy of money, if what you have is nothing? Oh, girl, that's an amazing gift you do right there. Oh, that's nothing. And so when you see your gift is nothing, then people come and see your gift is nothing, but they want to use your gift. Oh, can you write this for me? Oh, can you do this flower thing for me? And because you don't see it for nothing, oh, girl, yeah, I can do that. That's nothing. I want you to think about that. Because the thing is that we want to be able to be in a structure and a system and a dynamic that allows us to be abundantly compensated for the value we're bringing to the world. You see, I've learned, and I haven't got 100% to be able to be where I want to be, but I'm learning because I'm getting paid just to be. When I got asked to come in and just be in the space, in the room, and they want to pay me just to be in the room, not to say a thing, not to do nothing, but just to be in the room, I understood that I was doing the work. See, to get paid just because I am. You know, and I know a lot of people don't like Kim Kardashian. I use her because she doesn't do anything. She just show up. The girl don't sing. The girl don't rap. I don't even think she dance. She just walk in the room and get paid because she is Kim Kardashian. It's not about like. This ain't about value or moral or what you think she should or shouldn't. This is just a simple assessment of the idea that somewhere intrinsically she understands just being Kim Kardashian, she gets paid. Can you imagine Janine Ann Ingram just walking in the room? She get paid because she is Janine Ann Ingram. Come on, y'all. Think about that for the value she brings to the room. Now, your definition of abundance and someone else listening to this may have a different definition. As long as you have more than enough to go around, that's what abundance is. And where you have enough, you know. Money at the end of the month instead of money at the end of the money, that's when you really live it. So it really gets down to what story? Limiting beliefs and limiting story. I'm telling myself about why I can't have what I want. See, the reason why we're in situations that we're in is because of the story we tell is the story we live. What story are you telling yourself about the idea of not being able to live the life you want? What's the underlying negative emotion? And how is that fueling your inability to receive? I can't receive, I'm not worth it, I'm not valuable enough. And then on top of that, how can I add proper value to the world? Think about all those money stories that we tell ourselves. But the real deal is how can I add proper value to the world? Because profit and money in exchange, really profit is a byproduct from adding value to the world. And let me just tell you this. You add value to the world just being you. I know that's a hard concept. Just because you showed up, the room get blessed. You see, the blessings don't start till you get there. And I know for a fact, Janine and Ingram, without a shadow of a doubt, can change the atmosphere just by walking in the room. I know by the mere fact that I'm there, the room changes. I know I could say a prayer and the atmosphere changed. I know I can walk in the room and the atmosphere changed. Now, did I always know that? No, honey, no, I did not. Mm-mm. But it's no doubt in my mind now. I know I am the blessing. Now, it's just a matter of vibrating at the frequency level that I desire to bring into them the money that I desire. That's all. I'm getting there each and every day. It's getting better and better every day. I'm recognizing my intrinsic value, the fact that I am just because I am, that I'm being God. God is all around these streets, dripping honey behind me. Yes, honey, because I am the gift to the planet. I am the one that is the one that God sent to the planet for such a time as this. Can you imagine operating in your full knowing and understanding your full intrinsic value of what you bring to the planet? You see these limiting emotions and these money stories that we're telling ourselves? Can you imagine us really getting clear on the idea that profit and money in exchange really profit is a byproduct of us adding value to the world? So that means you should just get paid just because you are. So if we really get clear on how do I want to add value to the world, maybe in just bringing my own personal gifts and talents of me just being me, how then can I take the value that I add to the world and put myself inside of the structure that allows me to be properly compensated for the value that I'm bringing to the planet? How can I take a look at my money story and limiting emotions to keep money out? We have many entrepreneurs and business owners that provide massive value to the world, but their own money paradigm, their own money stories really allow them to not receive the true abundance that's coming to them. On top of that, let's talk about that hoarding mentality. It's the same thing. Hoarding comes from a lack. When you're living for the future, it's also where lack really perpetrates, because money and abundance flows. We have to give and receive. We have to ebb and flow. So when you allow yourself to invest in yourself, when you allow yourself to be a conduit for that flow of giving and receiving, all of a sudden you'll find more energy and more money come into your life as well. You're a conduit. So the question for you is this: how can you add more value to the world? How can you set yourself up in a system that allows you to receive the proper abundance for the value you bring? What are your limited money stories and beliefs? And how can we start to transform those stories into power and beliefs and empower stories? How can you come face to face with your true magnificence? Because somebody right now is on their knees praying, and you are the answer. Somebody is waiting for you to see your value so you can teach them how to see theirs. Come on, Holy Spirit. How can you come face to face with your true magnificence? That's my story today, and I'm sticking to it. That is my story today. If you came to the line today and you haven't been on the line, or if you've been on the line every day, God is calling you higher. See, God is wanting you to stand in your soul essence. And I'm going to tell you, I wrote in my journal yesterday. I just was, when I get off the line, I go into my meditation and I do write in my journal, right? So I was writing in my journal because I was simply grateful for all of those young people and the coach being delivered out of the cave and being rescued, and all of them lived. And I had just read an article that they attribute the life of these young people and the coach to being able to meditate, because it was very little oxygen, very little food, and very little water from my understanding, if it was any. The meditation is what kept them in a space that calm and everything, so that they could all live through this process. But what's interesting is that once they got the last person out, then the cave fell in. Come on, God. And so I want to tell you, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because it's powerful. We're powerful beings. We're powerful beings. Do you know all the people that was praying plus their meditation is what kept them out? I know that was a miracle in today's time. That cave was supposed to fall in way before the last person was rescued from that situation. But we're so powerful, collectively and individually. And we just, if we just see God in what happened yesterday in the last person being rescued in that mission, and then as soon as that, it just fell in. And they were all saved, and they attributed the saving and living was because of meditation. See, Reverend Ike said it best, you can't lose with the stuff you use when you use your spiritual tools. Reverend Ike said, I can't lose with the stuff I use because I use my spiritual tools. And I know it works because I've worked it on myself first. Family, I want us to transcend these money beliefs and money paradigms. And it, for whatever reasons that you may have personally, that this came upon me because I was watching people on the Facebook yesterday while I was sitting in the park waiting on. And I was listening to the different people, and four different people were asking for money. And in my inbox, four people had just inboxed me for money. And then that night, it was five more people because everybody's doing their events. People are fundraising. People got amazing events. Now, it may not be that you want to change your money story for that, but you might want to change your money story for whatever reason. It's time for us to change our money story. And let me tell you, I had to change my money story too, because I was sitting one day thinking about my belief system about my money, and I was going through, we had this big thing come in about somebody that need to pay, right? And I was thinking, bring me the other what you go? And then Spirit said, what? Bring me the source and supply of your money. So I just want ladies to know, your husband ain't your source of your supply, whether he works or don't work. God is our source of our supply. And I had to realize one thing, because it's so easy to deflect what we're not doing onto somebody else, and I'm talking about me. I was deflecting what I should have been doing onto Brenton, when I should have been looking to my inner resources instead of having an expectation. And sometimes we could get angry when people are not showing up the way we think they should show up. I don't know why I'm saying this. It's just coming out. And I'm really probably speaking to myself more than anybody else, but I'm just saying to you, stop looking outside yourself, whether it's your spouse, people, things, jobs, anything, to be your resource. Because your source is one, and everything else is a channel or a resource from the source. So start looking to the source and invest in yourself first. Because we teach money how to treat us. Anybody got any questions, comments, concerns? That's it for me. I'm going to let you all go. My grandbaby's here. I'm about to go back here and play with her because she makes my vibrations go high, high, high. All right, y'all. If you're on Blog Talk Radio, press 1. And if you're on the teleconference line, press *6. Press 1 is the 602-753. People be texting me saying, oh, I couldn't get in. I couldn't. I was pressing 2. Press 1 on Blog Talk Radio. That's the number 1 on Blog Talk Radio. And if you're on teleconference, then you press *6. All right, family. Good morning.
Hey, to Lady Emerald. Ooh, much love. Can't wait to hold you. And to the Love Journey family, I thank you for this topic, Janine, because it's the same issue again and again. And what it's done for me is, let me look at it. What's the process here? Why am I at the same place knowing that I have the same things to do at the same time? And
why are you speaking to me?
That's all right, but it makes sense. I've got to do the work to change this, and nobody outside of myself will do that. Again, mm-hmm. God is the source. You know, I can't be mad at my friends, my mama, my daddy, for what I didn't do. And I can see how big this is if I'm going through the same stuff after all this time, and I still haven't figured out the value in the self-worthiness and the tithing as an answer to the same crap. So thank you. Kisses to Lady Emerald. I'm complete.
Thank you so much, Claudette. It's the stories that we keep telling ourselves. And it may sound simple, but I just want to make sure. It may sound simple, but it's the work, vibrational work. It's the emotional work. And so as we move through this today, I'm going to read this from the Science of the Mind, because this was what they talked about the other day, the emotional work that we have to do. It says, change your feelings, change your life. Change your feelings, change your life. And I want you to breathe in that idea. Change your feelings, change your life. And before I start reading, I want you to think about this, because so many of us have been taught it's what we think and what we speak, but it does not change until we get into the emotions. It's the emotion, because the language of the universe is emotional. When I teach vision board class, I really get on this piece right here, and I go deep into this piece, because so many people ask me, how come I haven't the vision of my vision board? Change your feelings, change your life. You see, the thinking provides the nourishment. Our emotional expectancy provides the environment for all of our miracles. Michael C. Rand and Elizabeth Rand Arley. The Science of the Mind on page 398 says, the creative power responds to feeling more quickly than to any other mental attitude. Listen to this again. I want you to hear it. The creative power responds to feelings more quickly than to any other mental attitude. I want to stop right here, because I want you to really, I don't think we really get how powerful energy is. So when we're talking about money today, money takes on the energy of our thoughts. Money takes the energy of our thoughts. If I get paid and I feel like, oh my God, I don't have enough to pay, immediately my money will respond to my thoughts. My sales respond to my thoughts. My thoughts is being heard by my sales, so my sales are going to give me exactly what I've been thinking. Not enough. I'm not enough. We're not enough. This not enough. Nothing's enough. I'm not enough. Oh, my God. And everything I do and how I do is going to be energetically moved by how I believe that I'm not enough. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough. I don't have enough booty, enough titties. I'm not enough. My skin too light. My skin too dark. Oh, my God, I'm just not enough. I'm not enough. Many people consider the phrase change your thinking, change your life to be a mantra of religious science. After all, we believe that thoughts are things and powerful things that can determine the nature of our life experience. But getting our thoughts in check is just part of the journey to wholeness. Yes, yet we also observe that not every thought we have seems to carry equal power. Thank goodness. We've had some rogue thoughts come from time to time. I know I have. Which fortunately seem to pass through our consciousness unnoticed. But why do some thoughts manifest and others don't? Now, come on. This is where we're going to get into the meat and potatoes. I remember arguing with a lady. I'm not arguing, but debating on this line when I told her this, and she didn't believe me because she keeps thinking that it's just her thoughts and her words. But I'm telling you, we could speak a thing, we could think a thing, and it won't manifest until we get into the heart, because the heart is 5,000 times more intelligent. It's in the heart, family. It's in the heart. See, the thought is the planting of the seed, and the heart is the nourishment of it that manifests it. It's the blooming of it. So the thought plants the seed. The words nourish it, the rain to the plant, and the heart is what grows and evolves it. So just like we don't follow up on every interesting idea or light bulb moment we have, we also don't follow up on every random thought we encounter until we actually adopt that thought. Until we welcome it into our lives and nurture it and feed it and give it a good home, it remains an orphan lost in a sea of millions of other orphan thoughts. So I want to just stop right here. So that's why it's so easy for us to believe we're not enough, because over the years we've been taught we're not enough through some reason or energy or stories we've been telling ourselves from when we were young. So I give my example. I told you what I felt when my mom didn't show up for my birthday. I didn't have a mother or father, so I didn't think I was important to anybody. I didn't think I was good enough. I didn't think I mattered. And so now I still suffer from those thoughts that come up in my mind. Well, the sunrise service, don't nobody care. I'm not important. It's not important. And I have to constantly move myself out of that energy and change that stuff, because that's not true. That is not, I know consciously it's not true. I know for a fact it's not true. I know that I'm important. I know it. But sometimes that unconsciousness don't know it. And so I got to get into the feelings, into my default language remembers that I am more than enough. Now I'm getting better than I used to be. It's not as much as I used to be, but I still got some emotional commitment to that junk. See, it's our emotional commitment to a thought that welcomes into our life and begins the manifestation process. The more we nurture powerful feelings, excitement, expectancy, and overflowing gratitude, the more at home it becomes and the more it starts impacting our reality. But that same emotional commitment can be welcomed with not enough and all that stuff thoughts as well. When we're working on transforming our lives, changing our thinking is a great place to start. But when we add changing our feelings to the equation, we have the perfect formula for powerful manifestation. So, bam, there's the answer. You want to know why you don't have the vision off the vision board. You want to understand why you're not getting what you want. You got to change your emotional vibration. It is with joyful expectation and overflowing gratitude that I welcome all forms of good into my life. It's with joyful expectation and overflowing gratitude that I welcome all forms of good into my life. And so when I'm teaching my vision board class, I teach you how to release vibrational energy of why you haven't manifested what you want. And there's only a few ways to change your vibrational energy. You have to come to one of my vision board classes to learn that part, though. All right, family, I'm going to let you go. I just wanted to read that to you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I want to let you know that your life is a gift from God. And I want you to own that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice. And remember, family, you don't just have to dream your God-sized dream. You can live them. The power is in you. I know it because I see my life changing every single day, family. I'm closer to my dreams, and it's because of you. Because of you, I am. And let me tell you why. Because every morning getting up on this love journey and preparing for whatever I'm going to say to the next day, or preparing myself to be better and to do. And this year I'm committed to soul-stirring change. I'm committed to that deep soul-stirring change. I'm committed to meeting Janine soul to soul, face to face, to her soul essence. And that's my goal. And when I get to the place where I've met my soul, my soul essence, I wanted you to do the same thing. I'm getting there, family. I see it. I see the evolution, and I see the change. I'm so excited because of you. I am committing and being a part of the love journey, whether you come once in a while, all the time, your prayers, your effort, just because of you, I prepare, and I've been here, and it has expanded me. So I'm so grateful that I said yes. Will you say yes to your dreams today? Will you say yes to what is keeping you from living that most magnificent life? Will you say yes to your magnificent self? Will you allow the magnificence of you to shine and share to the world, because the world is waiting on your greatness? The world is waiting to see you. And I'm so excited to see you stand in your own greatness today, family. All right, family. So I'm going to leave you with this one thought. The power is in you to live your powerful life. You've been tuned in to the Love Experience with Janine.